A lot of the things that I thought were my personality were actually symptoms of a dysregulated nervous system, right? So I'm like, oh, I'm always busy. It's like, well, that's dysregulation. Or like, I have a sense of urgency about everything, or I'm an overachiever, or I'm type A, or it's like, well, no, Michelle, those are all coping mechanisms for something that's going on beneath the surface.
We are Gold Ivy. Our mission is to empower you to own and unleash your truth. Stories of resiliency are gold, and ivy grows in hard places. Those hard places are what create space for light to shine through. You decide what works for your daily life and how to transform our lessons into your gold. This is Ivy Unleashed, a Gold Ivy production.
This is important. If you are sick of spending money on product after product for your face, this is for you. I've spent so much time, money trying to find the perfect skincare line when really all I needed was clean ingredients and something that actually did the trick. And that's where the Golden Secret skincare line comes into play.
All right, what products are you using now that you love?
It's been a few years now of regularly using the Golden Secrets Heal All Oil, and my skin has never looked better. I spent years struggling with acne, and I'm so thankful Jesse Golden created the Heal All Oil. I use it both morning and night as my cleanser, and it's safe to say oil cleansing is where it's at. Clean and simplicity are what's most important to me, and the Heal All Oil and every Golden Secret product is just that.
I love when people share what and why they use skincare products. I finally created a habit with the combo of the Sorceress Stone Gua Sha Tool and the Heal All Oil. I'm already seeing more definition in my jawline and cheekbones, which is so exciting. Jessie also provides tutorials on exactly how to use all her tools and products, and I'm telling everyone because I know it can be so overwhelming to start.
If you're up for trying a new skincare ritual that doesn't harm you or the environment, but instead works in harmony to awaken it, The Golden Secrets is available at thegoldensecrets.com. We're thrilled to tell you about this amazing company and give you a discount code for your future The Golden Secrets purchases.
Yes, use code GOLDIVY for 10% today and keep watching us at Gold Ivy Health Co. on all social channels as we continue sharing our results with the Golden Secrets skincare line. You can find the link and code in the show notes of this episode.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Every episode of Ivy Unleashed is dedicated to empowering you to take ownership of your health. And what it really comes down to is prioritizing your mental health.
We've both seen the beauty and growth that therapy can bring and are thrilled to partner with BetterHelp to allow you the opportunity to feel heard and seen by a professional. The National Alliance on Mental Health reports that 155 million people live in a designated mental health professional shortage area, and BetterHelp is working to close that gap.
I've personally used BetterHelp and loved it because it was all online, making it super convenient. The biggest piece for me was how affordable it is. I was able to choose the therapist that met my needs. I came in with wanting to work on childhood trauma and anxiety, and it was unbelievable to see how many options I had with all the different backgrounds of therapists.
With BetterHelp, you have access to a network of over 30,000 licensed and experienced therapists. Therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness. And sometimes we can't see our own patterns and behaviors until we talk them out and get an unbiased perspective.
It's really nice to have someone who doesn't know you and has the professional background to help you thrive in your daily life. It has made the world of a difference with every relationship in my life, including the one with myself.
To get started, all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire about your needs and preferences and choose your therapist out of the options they give you. You can talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whether it's via text, chat, phone, or video call. Also, you can switch therapists at no additional charge until you find the right fit for you.
The best investment you can make is in yourself. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/goldivy. That's betterhelp.com/goldivy.
Take the first step to inner peace and freedom today. And now to this episode of the Ivy Unleashed podcast. Welcome back to Ivy Unleashed. Thank you so much for being here. Today is a special day because we're going to be talking about something that's very important. It's being calm. We have the perfect person here to talk about being calm, and that is Michelle Grosser. Welcome to Ivy Unleashed.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
You're welcome. And what I want to talk about first is your bio, because the list of titles, descriptions here, we've got pastor, master life coach, attorney, and a podcast host of the Calm Mom Podcast. So the plethora and variety pack of that. Can we just talk about your titles, who you are, and how you manage all of these things in your life?
While staying calm.
While staying calm, yes.
Oh my gosh, it is a variety pack. I love that. I'm going to use that because, you know, people always ask me to introduce myself. I'm like, well, I'm wearing a lot of hats, but I'm just going to be like, it's a variety pack.
It really
is. I got a lot going on. Yeah, so I'm a mom of two. I have two daughters. They're 5 and 6, married, live here in Miami. I have been practicing law for the last like 14 years. And then in the middle of the pandemic, I just had this like 3 a.m. moment where I was like, man, every woman, including myself, that I know are just like losing it right now. Marriages, parenting, just, you know, trying to keep everything together. And I just felt this really intense call to help and serve, but I was practicing law and had no idea how I could help fill that space. So it was just so serendipitous, and it came to be that I ended up enrolling in a year-long Master Coach certification program because my, you know, analytical, logical mind was like, I just need tools, right? Like, just give me some like tools, checklists. Like, I want to be able to help women. I don't want to give them advice, but I really want to like help them get to the deeper right root of a lot of the stuff that they're experiencing. And little did I know that that year would just flip my world upside down in the best way and connect me to so many things that I was really blind to forever as like this overachieving type A, whatever person, completely disconnected from my body, my intuition, my emotions, all of that stuff. So that started my deep dive into the nervous system. I also went into that so burned out and not even understanding my level of burnout. And the more that I looked and learned about that, I'm like, man, all of this stuff is rooted in the state of my nervous system. So I started coaching on it, started the Calm Mom Podcast. And then almost 2 years ago now, my husband and I also planted a church here in Miami that started very haphazardly where we're just like, man, we can't really find like a place that feels like right for our family. What if we just start like inviting some friends over and we'll just like, you know, sing some songs and pray a little bit on Sunday mornings. And then all of a sudden it's like, there's 30 people. And then there's like 60 people. And then there's like, we're like, oh my gosh, are we starting a church? This is insane. So now we have like a location with, you know, hundreds of people that show up on Sunday and a whole staff. And so I say all that to say, I do not do it all because a lot of people, that's their first thing is like, how do you do it all? It's like, well, I don't. No, nobody does, right? And I am so grateful that my steps were ordered the way that they were. And I learned how to regulate my nervous system and increase my capacity before trying to do all this stuff. Because if you had asked me to do this, I don't know, 10 years ago, I would have been a hot mess. And there are still moments of hot mess, but man, they are very few and far between, which I'm so grateful for. So those are some of the things that I'm doing these days.
Gosh, there's so much to unpack with what you just said. And I want to start with, how do we know, like, how do we become aware that we're dysregulated? What does that even mean? And why do people need to become aware of that?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So our nervous system is our body's command central, right? Everything we do, everything we think, everything we say, everything we do is all tied to our nervous system. It's the messaging that's constantly going on in our body. So when our nervous system is in a state that we call regulated, that is when there's a felt sense of safety and we're able to be present and connected and compassionate. And we have access to our prefrontal cortex, which is the part of our brain that allows us to have access to our highest levels of communication and see other perspectives and, you know, all these things that make us awesome. However, when our body and our nervous system senses some sort of threat, perceived or real, right? Sometimes it is, you know, my kids reaching for hot stove, or sometimes it's just like a nasty email from someone. Whatever that is, that sends our body and our nervous system into a stress response. And when we are in those stress responses, we call that a dysregulated state. And there's two different kinds of states, one being we're really activated. So that's, we'll notice that we feel really anxious, right? We might feel angry. It doesn't take much to set us off. We're irritable, edgy. And then on the other side of it, we can feel really dissociated or disconnected or kind of numbed out and shut down. So just having awareness of those three states, really activated, calm and present, or kind of burnt out and numbed out, can help bring regulation because we know it's going on, right? Awareness will always precede choice. So just noticing what's going on in our body is huge. And then the second part of that is growing in what we call somatic awareness, just a noticing of the sensations of our body, right? Our body's always communicating to us, communicating with us, and we just move at the speed of light. So often we miss it, right? We have a headache and we're like, whatever, like we don't even realize we haven't, you know, it's 2 p.m. We haven't eaten anything yet or whatever is going on. Our body's communicating with us. We miss it because we're so busy and, or we're just so quick to throw a Band-Aid on the problem, right? So we have that headache and it's like, take a couple Advil, wash it down with a Coke and like keep going on with my day and not getting curious about like, hey, what's actually going on here? So as we can grow an understanding of where we're at and the state of our nervous system and our somatic cues, like you started to lay a really solid foundation for regulation.
I like to pairing what you do to why this is important. And then knowing from there that, like you said, you're able to have this capacity because you start with a calm nervous system. And, yeah. And so the importance of it is like, you have no idea how good you can feel and what you can create in the world. If you were to start from that place of presence with yourself, presence with the people you love, because that's alignment, I feel. And then from there, you can figure out what you want to do. And you're just an example of like, it's endless. You could be a pastor. You could be a host. You could start a church. You can go to law school. Like, and I'm curious how your nervous system was back before this awareness. You know, what was it like when you were in law school and before you figured out that this was really important?
Yes. This is so, that's, I love that question because a lot of the things that I thought were my personality were actually symptoms of a dysregulated nervous system, right? So I'm like, oh, I'm always busy. It's like, well, that's dysregulation. Or like, I'm like, I have a sense of urgency about everything, or I'm an overachiever, or I'm type A, or I'm, it's like, well, no, Michelle, those are all coping mechanisms for something that's going on beneath the surface. So yes, like being in alignment can only happen from a space of regulation. Otherwise, we're just surviving, right? And that nothing productive really comes from that space other than survival. So it's like our most base level of operating. So yeah, for sure. When I was in law school, even early motherhood, like I was someone who prided myself in just like, I was strong. I was tough. I wasn't one of those women who like cried. I wasn't dramatic. Like I thought all of these things were things I was really proud of myself. And then I'm like, whoa, like those things were holding you back in so many ways that I was completely blind to. I had my second daughter. My girls are 16 months apart. And 5 weeks old, I'm back in the office. I'm like breastfeeding while taking deposition. And like, I think this is awesome. Meanwhile, my nervous system is so shot. I'm running on fumes. I'm not sleeping well. I'm experiencing all kinds of gut issues. My skin looks like crap. My hair's falling out. I'm irritable. I'm edgy. I'm, you know, in brain fog. I can't focus on anything. And my MO and all I've known is to just keep pushing harder. And nothing heals when you just keep pushing harder, right? We don't break our arm and then like go lift weights. It doesn't make any sense. But we do that with our nervous system, right? We're like, we're anxious or we're frazzled or we're whatever it is, burnt out. And we're like, I'm just going to push through this. So I really had to grow an awareness of what was going on and then learn how to heal all of that and regulate my nervous system. But yeah, I was a mess.
I feel like so many women listening can relate to that, whether they're a mom or not, of I don't like where I'm currently at. I'm just going to push through. And really what they need is the opposite. They need to get out of their own way and slow down and turn inward. So how did you begin that process?
Oh, I promised myself that every time I felt uncomfortable, I was going to lean in. Because I had been going so fast, so hard, that the thought of slowing down, conceptually, I could get it, right? Like I understood why I needed to do that. The act, the act of slowing down, like sitting on the couch and trying to do nothing, was terrifying for my nervous system because it was so new, right? And a lot of us, if we're honest, will notice that, right? Like, oh, I have an extra 20 minutes. I'm going to go do the laundry. And then it's like, we can't just sit still when really that's what our body is needing. So understanding that it's okay, right? You don't have to go and be a master meditator overnight, but starting, you know, 30 seconds, Michelle, can you sit here and do nothing for 30 seconds and then 2 minutes and then 5 minutes? And, you know, that's one example, but there's so many ways I had to lean into discomfort. Like I remember having conversations with my husband and I would feel myself start to become emotional, right? Like I would feel that coming up in my throat or tears welling in my eyes, and old Michelle would have like shoved it right back down and just gone on or whatever it was, suppressing all of that. And I had to be like, all right, this is it. This is what you're working on. Like, you got to lean into this. And like, literally telling myself, like, I will cry in front of another person and letting it come out, which it sounds so silly, but we all have things that are, we think are our personality, that are really just invitations to kind of strip away layers of ourself and armoring that we've put on for one reason or another, to really find out, like, how, what does it mean to live and feel and operate authentically me? And that's kind of what the exploration is.
Oh, that's a beautiful way to put it. Mm-hmm. That exploration. I love it. And I just keep thinking about us as women. You know, a majority of our listeners are women. And part of me feels like, of course, we push through things. Like, we have uncomfortable periods and we have to still go to school and be in swimming class in high school with a period, or like the range of emotions we have, or we're pregnant or going through a miscarriage or something, we still have to function. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of natural things that we do have to push through as women. So of course we think, well, whatever, I'm tough, I can do this. And there's also the conditioning of, you know, your parents or, you know, the environment you're around. And so I want to just like take away, like, of course we push through things, but that doesn't mean we have to continue to do that. Like, how is it serving you? How are you feeling? And I was just on Michelle's podcast. We were talking about burnout and how important it is to recognize, like, you will get to a point where your hair will start falling out, or you will be so resentful with your spouse or whoever. Mm-hmm. And be irritable because you can only do it for so long.
The Boundary Boss did it again. Terry Cole created something that every person on the planet needs because it will help their relationships and peace of mind exponentially. It's the Boundary Boss Workbook, the right words and strategies to free yourself from burnout, exhaustion, and overgiving.
Boundaries are necessary and a beautiful part of relationships if you have the tools and support to create and express them. I don't know about you, but setting boundaries, even though I know they're necessary, can be anxiety provoking because I know I could potentially make someone uncomfortable.
In the Boundary Boss Workbook, you'll have Terry holding your hand in the process of understanding different types of boundaries and integrating them into your life to help you have stronger relationships and be able to show up authentically and at peace.
I'm using it to set more effective boundaries, and it's helping me protect my energy and set boundaries without guilt no matter who I'm around. Terry provides mindfulness practices, customizable scripts, mindset shifts, even fun games to help you understand yourself and effectively communicate your boundaries.
I'm using the workbook to create awareness of my rigid boundaries, and I'm using Terry's self-care tools to help me feel more at ease. The workbook is full of exercises that help me understand how I'm trying to protect myself and gives me more loving ways to communicate my needs.
You don't have to set boundaries alone. Help yourself out with effectively understanding and communicating your boundaries and lean on the best tool out there.
Snag your copy of the Boundary Boss Workbook by clicking the link in the show notes or head to boundarybossworkbook.com today.
Dre, tell the people as fast as you can why Move with Gold Ivy is the last mind-body fitness program they'll ever have to buy, and how women are finally getting the transformation they're looking for.
I love a challenge. Let's go. Two big things. One, Move provides a fun atmosphere to work out in that actually gets you excited to show up and follow through with your goals. Not only is there an element of fun, but we've carefully curated a program that makes it as easy as possible for women to take care of themselves. And two, a Move membership addresses every aspect of your health, mind and body. Our Move members are getting the physical transformation they've been hoping for and feeling like they've finally found the group that motivates them on a daily basis. What did I miss?
As a Move member, you receive a weekly workout plan, weekly live or Zoom workouts, an on-demand workout library, transformational quarterly reset challenges, monthly coaching calls, monthly masterminds with health experts, and a private group of motivated members for support and accountability.
It's ready for you when you're ready to boost your metabolism, confidence, and feel your absolute best. Join Move or learn more by clicking the link in the show notes, clicking the link in our bio on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok, or by messaging us on any social channel at Gold Ivy Health Co.
It's your time. Move for your health, move for your confidence, move for your mental clarity, move with Gold Ivy.
Yeah, that's right. And I think something really important that you said there is, how is this serving me? Because there are still things about myself that I think are awesome, and they've served me really well. So I can look at those and be like, hey, my work ethic, let's say, for example, or whatever it is, right? My tenacity, my resilience has served me in all of these ways. And then being honest about the ways in which it's holding me back. But then the next step is like, how can I just implement some parameters or some boundaries around this so I can keep all the good with all this stuff and filter out some of the ways in which it's actually not serving me and leading me to burnout or whatever it is.
Yeah. So in this season of life, what have you found works well in keeping your nervous system regulated? Because you are wearing a lot of hats.
Yeah, I am. I think I have some really good habits and systems in place. And I also think that I have gotten so, it's just so freeing, honestly. Like, I think about myself now and I think about myself 10 years ago. And like, I trust myself so much. Mm. Which is such a journey. And I'm so proud to be able to say that, because it takes a lot of work to get to that space. But when I say that I trust myself, it means that I'm able to let go of any expectation. I'm able to let go of what other people think or say or do, or what, even my own husband and my own children. And in so many ways that allows me to just be present. I think we can get so caught up in all of this other stuff, right? So even if everything goes quote unquote wrong today or whatever it is, I know that my safety and my love and approval comes from within, right? So I've learned to play an inside out game instead of an outside in game, which I was playing for so long. So that's like the mindset part that has been really freeing for me. And then just on a practical level, there's three things that I do every day, and it's what I teach my clients to do every day when it comes to regulating their nervous system, or at least setting a foundation for regulation. And it's probably a lot of the same stuff that you guys teach. Just to speak, I was speaking with Andrea for a second. It's like, I was like, oh yeah, that's number one. That's number two. That's what I teach. But number one is at movement. Every single day I move my body. Some days that's a HIIT workout and I'm like a sweaty mess. Some days I like roll to the floor and just stretch on the floor because that's all I can do. But I will move my body every single day. I will have moments of stillness every single day. Sometimes it's a meditation, sometimes it's prayer, sometimes it's journaling, sometimes it's leaving my phone and AirPods at home and just going for a walk around the block for 5 minutes over my lunch break, but making sure I have moments of stillness every day. And then the last one and my most favorite one is play, 10 minutes at least of play every single day. And, I always like to qualify that because I have 5 and 6 year old girls and it is not like playing Barbies with them or stuff like that, because I actually, that does not bring me joy. But just like finding those things that light up your soul, your hobbies, dancing in the kitchen, you know, just this random stuff that really, like, we underestimate the power of play in regulating our nervous system. So again, leaning into the discomfort of that, if that feels new for you, and watch what happens. It's awesome.
I love it. And there's something that you mentioned earlier of, cause I'm really sensitive to words that especially my partner or my kids would say, because I want to be a great partner. I want to be a great mom. And I love that. I think that's a practice of understanding that you can't take everything so personal. And whether it's with them or your family of origin, something that people struggle a lot is being triggered by people.
Yeah.
Especially if you go home back for Christmas or you go back to your childhood home or whatever, you think you're all in a zen state until you go back home. You're like, oh my God, I'm back to my 10-year-old self who's throwing a fit and mad or whatever. So I'm curious how the family dynamics or triggers of, like, you think you're healed and then you throw yourself back in, how you kind of handle detaching from that and not getting so triggered.
Yeah, so that's great. So I think a couple things. One is that first and foremost, if we can just be gentle with ourselves in all of these situations, right? And how we show up. Like if we show up and we're like, that's it, this I'm not getting triggered this Thanksgiving, it's like that's probably not the best. You don't want to like white knuckle your way through these things, right? That's probably in and of itself going to cause some level of dysregulation. So I think just going in and being like, I'm going to do my best, or you know, whatever it is. So setting that intention. And then I think on a more maybe practical side, understanding what's happening when we are triggered can be really helpful. So understanding, right, that it's not just that, oh, I just have a short fuse, or I'm just really reactive, or whatever these labels we can tend to want to place on ourselves. It's like, no, what's happening when I'm triggered is that there's something happening in the present, in this moment, that my nervous system has stored away, probably completely unconscious to me, in my subconscious, that feels threatening or unsafe for some reason, probably from childhood. And without my conscious awareness, it is shooting me back to when I was 6 or when I was 14 or whatever it is, right? You say you walk in and all of a sudden your 10-year-old self comes back out. That is probably literally what is happening, right? So understanding that, it's not a personality flaw. It's not whatever. It's just like, yes, there are things that are going to, there's a book called The Body Keeps the Score. Right? Our body is like a library. So many things that our conscious mind has forgotten, experiences that we've lived, right? If my dad yelled at me when I was 5 and I don't remember it, but my nervous system felt so unsafe in that moment, it'll store it away. And then anything that looks, sounds, you know, in any way that's remotely similar to that, it'll bring forth this response in me, this physical response, and then a response in my nervous system. So just understanding that hey, this isn't really about the comment that, you know, Aunt Sue's making about my kids at Thanksgiving. It's actually bringing me back to something that happened a long time ago. And then just getting curious about that can help. And then just go in. It's like control what you can control, right? So going into those situations, not having eaten, slept in a fight with your husband, over caffeinated, like you're not setting yourself up for success. But going into those things from a place of feeling regulated and empowered. And even like, you know, if we have stuff like that, I'll talk to my husband and I'll be like, this is our code word today. Like if this comes up, dude, I'm gonna go, I don't know, someone forgot something in the car, I'm gonna go find it and spend 5 minutes in there. Or like then we gotta get like I'm tapping out, we're out of here, we're gonna leave early, or whatever it is. But going in unified for me also really helps in situations like that.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, there's certain situations that you know something's going to come up that triggers you. And what is your plan when that does happen? Is it movement, breath work, taking a beat? Having that, I think, allows you to go into the situation feeling empowered.
And the big thing you want to do there too, if I can talk on this for just a minute, is that a lot of times we want to jump to regulation. Like we feel that dysregulation rising up, right? And we're like, quick, I'm going to regulate. I know I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to whatever. And so often when we're so quick to jump to like breathing, let's say, for example, it actually becomes a suppression tactic. So we think we're regulating our nervous system, but when we're so quick, we're feeling anger. I'm going to go take a couple of deep breaths. We're not actually allowing that anger to release. We're actually continuing to suppress it. So just understanding that can be really helpful too. Is it actually anger that needs to be expressed and released? And then I can bring safety to my body through breath or movement or sound or touch or whatever. That's a really great way to complete that loop. But when we're so quick, I think a lot of us, we hear in just mainstream media, right? It's like, just take a breath or whatever. And it's like, well, yes, but first, what you're feeling still has to come out. So you have to have healthy ways to express the anger or the anxiety or whatever it is, and then introduce something that feels soothing and safe to my nervous system.
Oh, it's like what you said earlier of lean into the discomfort, because we don't want to feel that discomfort, that anger, that pain, whatever it may be.
That's
So I'm gonna
it.
have to
But
play with
knowing
that.
it's part of the process of getting to calm, right? It's uncomfortable to observe these.
It's kind of freeing.
Yeah.
Like I can be just, let it out.
Yeah, and
I love
have
that
healthy ways
face.
to do it. We got to.
Yes, and you have something you've talked about is a communication formula, approaching conflict in an effective and beautiful way. And that's something we want to talk about because communication, you know, I think about being calm. It's like, yeah, I want to be a calm person, but I also want to be a calm presence for others. I want to be a warm, calm presence. And I think communicating needs and communicating in general it's crucial. And so I would love for you to talk about that and why that's so important.
Yeah, I love that. So I want to talk about it. And before I do, I also want to say, even with the name of the podcast, like The Calm Mom, I struggled with that name or like went back and forth with it so much because I did not want to be part of just what I see as this like perpetuation of this idea that as moms or women, we have to be calm all the time. So first of all, like that is not my goal. That's actually a really unhealthy nervous system. If like something's happening and we're just like, ah, I'm so calm. Like that's actually not healthy, right? So I just want to release anybody who's like feeling right now, like, oh man, I just wish I was more calm. It's like what you're wanting is actually regulation in your nervous system that grows resilience. We all want to be more resilient. So yes, I want to experience the ups and the downs because life is going to keep happening. I won't be calm all the time, but I'm not going to get stuck there. I'm not going to get stuck feeling anxious or stuck feeling burnt out. And I have tools to bring me back. So I just want to say that too.
Yes.
Calm is awesome, but none of us will ever be calm all the time. It's actually not human, right? So communication. I teach nonviolent communication framework. I didn't create this. This was created by Marshall Rosenberg, but it's essentially a framework, which, you know, my lawyer brain loves. It's like a formula for communicating. And as I have learned about it and incorporated it in my family and with my kids and with my husband and my staff, everyone, it is really beautiful, actually, because I think the ways in which we're taught to communicate are tragic, I think, because they're so reactionary and it's so quick. The ways in which we communicate are so quick to put the other person on the defensive that it's over before it begins, right? All of a sudden, we're talking about our nervous system, right? The defense goes up, the brain shuts down. And then you're not going to accomplish anything. It's like trying to negotiate with our kid in the middle of a meltdown. It's like, that's not going to go anywhere, right? So often that can be frustrating. But the way that the framework works is that the first thing is that you make an observation without any judgment tied to it, which is much harder than you might think. So when I'm working with clients around this, I'll have them write down what the observation is. Like you always throw your dirty towel on the floor in the bathroom. And it's like, how do we keep like crossing stuff out until all of the judgment has been removed? And if someone, you know, were on a jury and like watching the sequence of events, they would be like, yes, that is factually what happened, right? Mm-hmm. So that observation might be like, when you take a shower and leave your towel on the floor, because there's no judgment in that. Everyone can agree that's what happened. And you can apply this to anything, right? So the first thing is that making that observation. And then the next step is that you have to express, and you just said it, your need, right? Everything we do as human beings, not just in communication, everything we do as human beings is in service of some unmet need. Like when you can wrap your head around that, even in parenting, you're like, whoa, they're not just being a jerk. Like that is in service of some unmet need, or anyone, right? It's fascinating. But the thing is that like I was, and I think a lot of us are, we're so out of touch with what our needs are. So just learning to get curious with that. And within the needs, something that I like to teach is most of the time when we attach an ED at the end of a need, it's actually not a need. So it's saying something like, oh, not a need, how we're feeling. So if we're like, I feel attacked, or I feel abandoned, or I feel, that's actually not a feeling, right? A feeling is a sensation in our body. That's actually a judgment that you're passing. You made me feel attacked, or you made me feel abandoned. And that's not going to get you anywhere either. So getting to the core of how we're actually feeling, our needs and our feelings, right? I have a need for order, let's just say. That's why when the towels are on the floor, it makes me feel frustrated, or it makes me feel sad or something. I almost said disrespected, and that's actually a judgment, right? That's not a feeling. So those are the first ones. And then the last way ends is you have to make a request. And I think this is so often, right? It's like people, we expect them to read our minds and we don't verbalize these things. So making a request, hey, next time, like, can you grab those towels and put them in the hamper? That would be so helpful for me, however you want to frame it. But a request is not an ultimatum, and a request is not a demand. So in that part, we really have to do a lot of inner work to be okay with, you know, a response that could be, yes, I will acquiesce to your request, or no, I'm not going to do that. And then where do we go from there? So it's a framework. I think it's super powerful, and it's something that also invites us to do so much work as we start to practice that framework of communicating with each other.
That's beautiful. Less judgment in that and more, I love that. It's like, it's factual, but it's me that's requesting it. So we're going to say what my need is. And then there's agency. Like, mm-hmm. your journey's not my journey. Maybe you don't give a shit about towels on the floor. Like,
clearly not.
Right? It's also owning how you're feeling, yes. and not letting it stay inside you. Cause I feel like right. that ends up being resentment. And then you just,
yes.
like, fumes just go. Mm-hmm. You've hit your limit.
Yeah, for sure.
I love that. I think this is so important because it's, you know, we're talking about the awareness of why it's important to regulate your nervous system, but it's also, you know, you want to have this close connection with your kids and your partner and other people. So to learn how to have your awareness, work on being calm or regulated, and then communicating your needs will bring intimacy. It will bring connection. And that's like the ultimate goal here. We don't want to be super busy and have our heart racing and be on edge and irritable. Like, nobody wants to be that person. But yeah. so many of us are because you see it in somebody else and then you feel like you have to say yes to these things you don't want to say yes to. And it's just this cycle that, I mean, we love why you're doing the work you're doing because it's bringing the value to slowing down. And mm-hmm. it's not like you're not going to be productive. I mean, you're a pastor, an attorney, a podcast. So it's like, you can still do a lot and produce a lot of value, but I think that calm state and that communication, it creates what we're all truly wanting.
Yeah. Yeah. So the, I think it's the Marines. I don't know, but it's a saying that they say like slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I remind myself of that, like slow is smooth and smooth is fast. So yeah, we might have this paradigm that there's going to be, you know, I'm not going to be as productive, or I'm not going to get as much done, or I'm not going to be able to achieve as much. But when we can really question that or test it, maybe even, I think we would be surprised that slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
How have you seen that play out in your life? I'm just curious what benefits you've really noticed since being really, really intentional about this new way of life.
Yeah. So the first thing that I got hyper aware of was any sense of urgency that was arising. Because I think so often, you know, just think about a typical maybe mom's morning routine or woman's morning. And maybe routine is even generous, but it's just like from the minute your eyes open, it's like, bam, I have all of this stuff to do. Or it was hitting me a lot in the nighttime routine with my kids. Like I found myself being like, just fall asleep already. And then I was like, where is this urgency coming from? Like, why? And I'll be like, well, I have to get the clothes from the washer into the dryer. It's like, no, you don't. Like, chill out. So just starting to question anytime that sense of urgency came out. And then second is really just testing my capacity when I'm regulated. Because when I am regulated, I am so much more efficient. My communication is so much more direct. I can just bust stuff out. I'm more organized in how I plan my day. So there's less, like, I don't multitask, right? I can just like, bam, get stuff done, knock it out. And before, you know, multitasking is really dysregulating and it's actually steals a ton of time. So it's a mix of like, yes, in my body, I know how to be focused and get stuff done. And then putting systems and habits and, you know, practices into place to ensure the efficiency. But a regulated nervous system is like, that's your number one productivity tool. You will not be more efficient than you will be in a regulated state. So yeah, try it out.
I love that. I love too. It's like, it's not just like the connection, yes, but it's also like, you're going to get stuff done. Like, this is a hack.
And do it while being happy and aligned and feeling mission driven and on purpose.
And playing.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fun.
It is the ultimate life hack. Like, if you slow down and get intentional, calm your nervous system. That pain, I think about pain a lot because that's where a lot of my gut health issues come from and trauma and whatnot, is learning how to slow down and listen to this inner voice. And no one taught me this growing up. And so through the work that we're doing and the people like you that we're having on our podcast, it's teaching us so much about how we want to lead and how we want to be different than a lot of people in our space that are grind, grind, hustle, hustle, hustle. And we're like, no, we don't want it to be that way. So I just want to take a minute and say thank you for doing what you're doing, for being the proof that I needed to hear today and that I know so many of our listeners did too. Where can everyone find you and get more of you and your just what you have to offer? It's so beautiful and revolutionary.
Thank you. You can find me on my podcast, The Calm Mom. That's the best place to find me, and everything flows from there. My website, michellegrosser.com. I have a new private podcast that I just launched a few weeks ago called Heal Your Burnout. Mm-hmm. So it's 5 really short, actionable episodes that you can listen. It's absolutely free. So you can check that out if you're curious. If I always say like, do you just need a snack and a nap or is this burnout? Like if you're curious about where you're at, that's a great place to start. Mm-hmm. And we've got, you know, one-on-one coaching and group programs and all kinds of stuff. So that's really the hub where I hang out is the podcast and then all the information on my website.
Awesome. We'll plug all that in the show notes. And as you know, Michelle, we always end our episodes with a few different segments. Our first one is 3 gold stars. So your 3 takeaways for our listeners.
I love that. So I think my first one is pay attention to your somatic cues. Just start to notice, right? The next time you notice tension in your shoulders or a kink in your neck or a headache or, you know, a gut issue or something, like just start to notice and get curious, like, hey, what could that be trying to communicate to me without being too weird and overthinking it? Just take a beat and be like, okay, do I have a headache because, you know, I haven't drank any water today, or is there something else going on here? And I think that can bring a lot of healing. So paying attention to your somatic cues. And then the next is my 3. I think I would just encourage you guys to just try it. Doesn't have to be this big morning practice, but a few minutes of movement, a few minutes of stillness, and a few minutes of play every day. And then I think the last reminder, the last gold star, is to just continue to remind yourself that nothing heals by pushing harder. So just being gentle with yourself and all of your, we all have healing, right? That we need to do. So being really gentle with yourself in that and giving yourself what you need. And we are, as women, so wired to resource everyone around us. So really learning to prioritize resourcing ourselves will be so impactful to your journey.
Beautiful.
I always say you're your own best doctor because of that, because of that power that you have in your intuition and your nervous system. Like you said, it's your messenger. It's trying to tell you something, and it's our job to listen and to tap in. So I just want to echo what you said. It's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And next up, Unleashing Ivy, are 3 more questions that we're just curious about that are surprise. Are you ready?
Let's do it. We'll find out.
Do you want to go or do you want me to go?
You can go.
Okay. My question is for you, having a 5 and 6 year old, I think those ages, they're not quite in like a fully packed schedule and go, 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 right? But these are really formative years for them. And I'm so curious, you know, what are your main priorities for helping your 5 and 6 year old to have a regulated nervous system now?
I think starting to teach them about their somatic cues, starting to teach them about acknowledging and growing an awareness of their feelings, removing any shame or stigma or label or judgment with any emotion that comes up for them, and then really resourcing them with tools to help them discharge all of that emotional energy that can come up, so that they can learn. We actually share a nervous system with our kids until they're about 7. So my kids have been able, it's crazy, right? have been able to really co-regulate with me, and they're getting to that point where they're starting to be able to do this on their own. So watching them explore that and learn and play with it has been really cool.
Yeah. One of my kids said I overreacted yesterday, and I was like, I don't think that exists. Like, you had a feeling and it had your body do a thing that I'm sure it felt weird that they had it and our reaction to it. And so I'm trying not to overreact. I just use it myself. I'm trying to like be neutral with their big emotions, which is a challenging thing, especially if you got to get going, you got to get out the door to get to school, like to help them have a regulated nervous system in the midst of needing to have them get their butts out the door. And that's like the hardest
part. Probably not the time
part.
For that.
I know. I was saying, maybe choose a different time.
Just move.
But that a lot of times that's when the big emotions come. It's like the worst timing ever. And so I'm just saying, it's not perfect, but I think that's so great and such a great tip when they're little that you can, they're kind of in tune with your.
Yeah. And none of this is perfect. Like there's still meltdowns and temper tantrums, and I still get frustrated and angry. Like these are normal things, you guys. Thing is, like, can we resource ourselves and give ourselves our best shot at showing up how we want to? And when we don't, we repair. Like it's It's an ever-evolving process.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, my question is about boundaries. Mm-hmm. I'm curious what boundaries you've set that have helped you or maybe given you the biggest bang for your buck when it comes to, one, having a calm nervous system, and two, still being able to perform at such a high level.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so something about boundaries that I love to teach about is that when it comes to boundaries, so often we think that boundaries are protective measures that we can put on other people, right? And when we realize that that's not actually what a boundary is, it's really eye-opening and it's powerful. So for me, the way I think about boundaries is that your level of access to me will be directly correlated to the responsibility that you bring to this relationship. So my husband has always brought really high level responsibility in his, you know, the way that he speaks to me, things that, you know, just everything, right? And I obviously married him and he has a really high access to me. There are other people in my life who bring drama or whatever it is, like very low level responsibility in my space. So they can keep being them, but I'm going to lower my level of access to them. So having that constant running in the background when I make decisions about who I'm spending time with, who's, you know, who has access to me. It sounds like a really jerky thing to say, but in reality, that's what a boundary is, right? So especially an interpersonal boundary, is to just kind of release it. Like, hey, I'm putting this in place because of the level of access. I mean, the level of responsibility that you're bringing. So if you want to raise what you're bringing to me, I will spend more time with you. And if you're not able to do that, no harm, no foul, I will see you, you know, on Thanksgiving or whatever it is. So that has been really freeing for me. And then just on a personal level, I have gotten, I have set really firm boundaries with myself around my internal voice and being very quick to get curious and learn how to move the voices that I do not, that do not serve me. And then amplify the voices that do. And that's also a practice, right? I don't shut up my inner critic. I don't try to quiet these things. I actually listen to them because like everything else, they serve a purpose. And the more attention I can pay to them, they'll actually become kinder and gentler. And that is actually an awesome, you know, cheering section to have going on in all of this chatter that happens up here. So understanding that, not so often we try to silence the inner critic or silence all of these things that we don't think are serving us, but that actually doesn't work. So paying attention to them, giving them space to express what they're trying to do, which ultimately always has a highest intention of keeping you safe, always, right? That inner critic wants you to perform at your best so you can be loved and welcomed into a group for your survival, like at its base. So I think having boundaries around, you know, what I listen to, one in my head, and then really I'm actually pretty intentional about that overall, right? The music, the news, all of these different things. Because if they're dysregulating, I don't really have time.
I would love to just be on your shoulder and just observe you taking care of yourself all day, because you're really good at this. You've got a lot of little tactics, and it's a practice. It's a lot of different things you're doing. But when it comes down to it, it's self-exploration. It's the self-discovery. It's less judgment. It's more acceptance and knowing that you're worthy of this time to tap in and understand these cues, these voices, this, your body, like all of these things that they really pay off and they determine how you show up ultimately.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And we get one go around, right? Like you guys are doing big, amazing things too. So we get to decide how we're going to show up. And I know that these things help me show up really powerfully. So they're serving me now. It might change. But for right now, that's what I'm doing.
I love it.
I love it too. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
And our last question, if you could go back and tell younger Michelle one thing, what age would you choose and what would you tell her?
Oh, that's good. So I think I would tell her probably like 14, 15 year old Michelle. I think I would tell her that her perception of reality is really skewed. because I think that during that time, we can think that a lot of things are really important that aren't. And everything seems like a big deal. And, you know, what, you know, friend group or boyfriend or school or all of this stuff. I don't think are necessarily the things that we need to be focusing on when we're 14 and 15, but a lot of them are part of life, but just the level to which we hyperfixate on them, I think doesn't serve us well. So just reminding her that, you know, broaden your perspective a little bit, that this is going to pass and, you know, the things you're going through, you'll use for good. And you're going to forget most of this stuff. So just keep going.
I love it. That's great advice. And especially that pivotal time. That was a rough time for me too, where it's like everything feels so like this is the worst day of my life, or the, you know, it's, but it's your everything. You don't have that perspective. So I love that. And we love that you are a part of our platform now, because this is like, this is going to touch so many people, whether you have kids or not. The information you're putting to the world and your practices, you know, personally are so profound and going to help us so much. Even if it's just us, no one's tuning in. I don't care. I'm so happy you're here today.
We're going to be regulated, baby.
I love it. I'm so happy that we know you and that you're a part of Ivy Unleashed now. So thank you for your time and being a part of this.
Oh my gosh, this was so great. Thank you for having me. You guys make it really easy and really fun. And I'm so grateful we connected.
Yay.
Okay, Michelle, we leave our listeners with a piece of gold. Your favorite quote or quote that's speaking to you right now. Would you please share yours and sign us off?
Sure. Yeah. So in our church, we have values. We have 7 core values. And one that is my favorite that it's a value for our home too, is that counterculture is our culture. And I think that's a good one to latch on to, because having a regulated nervous system is actually counterculture, right? Like, I wish it wasn't, and I wish it was mainstream, but there's a lot of things you have to come against in order to be able to achieve that and live in a place that feels present and aligned and focused and all of these things. So, you know, things that, like I was saying, the music, the shows, the pace, right? Even this whole year, like we're halfway through the school year, I made a decision at the beginning. I'm like, we're not doing any after school activities. There's no dance. There's no karate. There's none of it. And that feels so counterculture. But it's what our family has needed over the last few months. So just really leaning into that, like letting your family decide the values that serve you best. And then if it's counterculture, well, that's our culture. So we're going to do things in the ways in which we believe and feel aligned for us in this season. And I think that can be a powerful place from which to parent and live, and not have to feel like you have to, you know, it takes all the comparison out. It takes all the judgment out. It's just like, man, countercultures are cultures, what we're doing. So I'll leave you with that.
This is Gold Ivy signing off.
Listen to your truth and go chase your gold.
We want to thank you and encourage you to celebrate yourself for taking the time to learn and get inspired in your one beautiful life. And if this podcast means something to you, it would mean so much to us if you'd be willing to take 30 seconds to help support our mission to keep bringing you inspiring stories and guests.
First, following the podcast is important because it helps you never miss an episode. To do this, just go to the Ivy Unleashed podcast show page on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And then just tap the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner or click on follow.
While you're there, if you'd be so kind to give us a 5-star rating and review and share your favorite episode with a friend, we'd be so grateful for your support.
We are thrilled you're here and are so happy that you're taking time to prioritize your wellness, self-discovery, and growth with us.